You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
Hand me the lot.
All right, now back in making his sixth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Jets, Patriots, and Saints safety Victor Green. Let me remind you about Victor's background. He's from Americus, Georgia, which is in the southwest part of the state. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Americus, it is clearly a hotbed of football talent. Great players like our friends Kent Hill and Dan Reeves are from down there. And plus, there's a whole lot of other great players that have come from there as well. Victor started his college career at Copiah Lynch Community College, where he was twice named to the Gridiron All-American team. From there, he went on to attend the University of Akron, where he earned degrees, two degrees, by the way, one in criminal justice, the other in political science. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the New York Jets in 1993, and he played in the NFL from 93 to 2003. Led the NFL in tackles twice in 1995 and 96. And in fact, in that 96 season, he set a Jets team record with 20 tackles in a game against the Buffalo Bills. Over the course of his career, he had 961 tackles, 25 interceptions, recovered 17 fumbles, forced nine of them, had seven sacks, and he scored three touchdowns. 2003, he was named to the Jets all-time team and has also been named the best strong safety in Jets history. And oh, by the way, a heck of a golfer as well. And we're excited to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Victor, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Victor.
Chris and Bob, man. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Victor, I want to start our time with you tonight by getting an update on your son, Elijah. Freshman running back at the University of North Carolina. Those guys had an 8-4 season, capped it off with an appearance at the Orange Bowl against Texas A&M. How do you feel about his freshman year? How does he feel about his freshman year?
You know, he feel really well. You know, this was a growing year for him. I mean, he had to, you know, gain some strength, you know, but the coaches love him there. And, you know, with the two backs leaving this year, open up the door for him being, you know, one of the guys next year. So we look forward to next year, and he's very excited about it.
Victor, I also want to get your thoughts on your Jets. Surprised that they let Adam Gase go after only two seasons there?
Surprised, relieved. You know, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I thought they should have fired him earlier. Adam, you know, came in as a highly, you know, genius of offense. And, you know, I think, I don't know the numbers, but I don't think we averaged 17 points a game his 2 years there. You know, and I don't like to hire in the first place. I mean, came from a team, the Dolphins, who I don't think had a win the season while he was there then. So, no, I'm very excited he's gone. I'm looking forward to the next head coach, and I hope it's an offensive-minded coach. I would love to see the one at Kansas City. Office court.
Eric Bieniemy.
Look, you're right, Bieniemy. I think he's done a great job there at Kansas City over the years he's been there in the read, and I think he can do great with this offense we have here going to Jets.
Are you sold that Sam Darnold's the guy? Is he the franchise quarterback, or are you starting to think that maybe they need to look elsewhere?
You know, if they had the first pick, I've been saying, you know, I played against, I coached against Trevor Lawrence here in high school. My son beat them in the state title game. And so I had a time to look at him and look at his film. He's a heck of a player. And if they have gotten him, I would say, you know, let's move on. But, you know, you look at Sam's career, you know, he's been injured a lot. Yeah, I think TB, you know, had this COVID. Yeah, he's been injured. You know, it's been a lot, you know, his offensive line has been, you know, not that great. The receivers, you know, it's kind of like when Geno was there, you know, not, you know, didn't have the supporting cast. So I'm willing to give Sam, you know, another opportunity. You know, I don't know if the Jets will do that, but I think he earned that. At times he showed great flashes that he can be a franchise quarterback. You know, he can make all the throws. He's shown that he is mobile. But I would like to see him with some receivers. I would like to see him behind an offensive lineman in a running game. And I think he can be that guy. But, you know, he's not a Tom Brady. He's not a, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But he needs that supporting cast. And I think if he gets that, he can be a good quarterback.
Bob, questions for Victor?
Great to have you back, Victor. Always a pleasure.
Thanks,
and
Bob.
I want to take you back to your rookie year. You know, I was looking at that 93 Jets team, and again, Pete Carroll was your defensive coordinator, and I want to take you back to that first training camp when you arrived in New York, and here you see guys like, you have a guy like Ronnie Lott, you know, an all-world guy who's already been 12 years in the league. You see this guy in your training camp, and you're a young rookie. I mean, was it a little overwhelming at first, Victor? And talk about Lott as maybe a mentor and how he welcomed you on the team.
Man, it's funny that you mentioned Ronnie. You know, we just talked, and we actually been talking pretty, you know, I said regularly, but we talk often. And he just sent me a message and said, "Hey, Victor, as another year drone presents itself, I don't want to go without passing and telling you how much I appreciate you. May your journey be enlightened. God cheer, good health, good tidings, happy holidays, Ronnie." So, I thought that was very, you know, great of Ronnie, who I looked up, obviously coming into the NFL and having the opportunity to play with him. And him and Brian Washington, I went up to him and said, "Hey, man, can I work out with you guys?" So after lunch, I started working out with the guys. I started standing up to practice with Ronnie and just learning, you know, what made him such a great player in the NFL. And as you see how I play, you know, it's a lot of how Ronnie played, you know, physical, fast, and just want to make every tackle. So, it was intimidating, you know. And that was one of my, you know, when I chose the Jets, you know, being a young 21-year-old, I didn't understand that, hey, you know, they didn't draft anybody. I just said, well, I thought that's a good thing. But when I got there, they got, you know, Clifford Hicks, David Tate, Kevin Porter, Ronnie Lott, you know. They brought in all these free agents. I mean, all these free agents at the time. And, you know, unbeknownst to me, you know, how difficult it was going to be for me to make the team. But I stuck on those guys. And, you know, with that, you know, I showed some light that I deserve to be there. And, you know, I wound up making a team as a free agent. And, you know, from there, it worked out for me.
And fast forward a few years after that, Victor, I'm looking at that, like the 99 Jets coaching staff, and I'm seeing names like Parcells and Charlie Weiss and Belichick and Carson and Crennel and Al Groh and Todd Haley and Henning and Mangini. I could keep going on. It was like a who's who in coaches. Did you know at the time that this was an incredibly talented staff? I mean, it didn't necessarily translate to a great season, but these were some hell of a coaches.
We did have some great coaches, and at the time I didn't realize, you know, the Hall of Fame coaches that we had other than really Belichick and Parcells. But, you know, as it turned out, and Belichick had his career in New England, you know, and all the, I guess, all the wings and the downlines that came from that, it's been amazing. You know, I think all the coaches that you mentioned that's been a head coach at, you know, on some level. And it's amazing, you know, when you get under some leadership, great leadership, you know, good things come out of that. So, you know, we had a great leadership of coaches, and I thought we had a great team. Unfortunately, you know, we had some injuries and things of that nature that happened early in the season. But, you know, we had some celebrity coaches, and, you know, I learned a lot from them.
Victor, I want to kind of stay with your playing career in 96. Jets team wasn't very good. You had Frank Reich on that team, obviously now the head coach with the Colts. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you saw with Reich. And could you tell the guy was, you know, kind of suited to be a coach later on in his career, because he's been doing some great stuff with Indy?
I didn't see it at the time, man. But, you know, Frank and I had a lot of, you know, good conversations, you know, coming over from Buffalo. And as you saw, hey, he stepped in, I think it was in 92 when he stepped on for in that playoff game.
Right.
You know, and we had the opportunity to play with him. And I thought he just was a class act guy. You know, he was a student of the game. He was always trying to get better, even at, you know, at his older age at that time. And, you know, we had some good conversation in terms of him telling me, you know, hey, hang in there, man. I think you're going to be a great player. So he was, yeah, I didn't see the coaching part of it at the time. Obviously, that's something I wasn't thinking about, but I just knew he was going to be successful in whatever he did. And he was a great, great man. And I'm glad to see him, finally have some success over there in Indianapolis. And, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl in the next couple of years, but I think he's going to be knocking on the door.
I want to fast forward a couple of years to 98 in a game against the Dolphins. You had a couple of picks against Dan Marino in a 20-9 win in October of 98. You had a couple of, you know, several games where you had a couple of picks, but this one against a Hall of Famer, where does that rank in your highlight film?
It rang high because every time, you know, Dan and I are together, you know, he brings that up, same as Brett Favre. So, you know, it's always great for conversation when we're all together. Obviously, we always own the Dolphins. And so, you know, Dan and I, we always chuckle about it. He's a golfer. I'm a golfer. So, but, you know, playing against, you know, Hall of Famers, you know, like himself and Jim Kelly and Brett Favre, who all played golf with and had success against those guys, it's memorable. You know, I got all of them jerseys. They signed them to me, and it means a lot, you know. And these guys, obviously Hall of Famers and great people, you know, you look back on the career and say, you know, I played against that guy. I mean, I have my son watching to this day, you know, the great quarterbacks I intercepted, and he's excited about it, and you know, I'm excited about it as well.
And Victor, to your point, when you have interceptions against, you know, the greats of all time, and obviously you played against Marino a couple times a year, you played against Kelly a couple of times a year, when you're that familiar with some, was there something over the years you were able to pick up on what they did that allowed you to get an extra step, a jump on a ball that helped you get those interceptions?
Well, yeah, when you know, I was a student of the game. I always watched film. You know, I learned that from Ronnie. You know, he was a big film watcher. And, you know, when you play a team, you know, twice a year and you watch them, obviously, you know, before we play, I probably watched four or five games prior to that of them. So I knew what they do a lot of time, right? And then with game planning, you know, it's kind of put us in situation where we can be successful. So, you know, so that has a lot to do with it. So you don't know everything that they do, but, you know, you look at formations and hash marks and things that, you know, what they like to do certain things at, and it kind of gave you an idea like, okay, I saw this on film, and you can kind of cheat a little bit and make a play. So you have an idea when you play a team like that, you know, twice a year and over multiple years, and you can, you know, start and have some type of success. So that plays a big part in it.
And Victor, not only were there great players that came out of your hometown of Americus, but, you know, Akron had some great players and some great coaches that have come from there. Jason Taylor played there. Charlie Fry went there. Dwight Smith, the former Buck safety that had a couple of pick sixes in Super Bowl 37, played there. Ara Parsegian, going way back, played there. Have you gone back to Akron and been at events where you got to spend some time with some of these other great players that are alumni as well?
Well, only Jason, you know, the younger guys, you know, I spent some time with Dwight, you know, he's, you know, not too much younger than I am, but, you know, a little bit, but, you know, I go back, you know, seen Dwight, I've seen, you know, Jason, spoke to the team. So things of that nature. It's a lot of times that, you know, when I play, when they had things up there, you know, I was wasn't able to make it. You know, but the campus has changed so much. The stadium now is on campus. And, you know, it's always good going back there. I don't get back there as much as I want to or I could. But it's always good to go back there when I do. So, but it's a great place. And I love, you know, the opportunity I had to be at Akron. I could have gone other places, but at the time I was just, you know, I was a young kid, again, from America, coming from Kapaa Lincoln, you know, that was big for me, you know what I'm saying? You know, I had Notre Dame, Lou Holtz calling me, and, at the time, and I had Mississippi and did Ole Miss, and a lot of, you know, a lot of bigger schools, but that didn't mean anything to me at the time, right? And you know, I chose acting because when I went there, you know, Wes Slaughter brother was, you know, lined up and said, "Hey, you come, I come." I said, "All right." And so I just wind up going to actor, man, just on that, really. So, but I had a great time there, and I love, actually my trainer, Kevin, is retiring this year, so I think it's in April, and I think I'm going to go up there for that. Equipment guy, actually.
Bob, one more for Victor?
Yeah, sure, Victor. Going back to what you said about being a student of the game makes me think about fundamentals. You were a guy that had a couple seasons where you were over 100 tackles. I think you led the league in 96. And that brings me back to what I see daily, weekly here, Victor, and I'm sure you see the same of defensive backs and defensive players overall just not wrapping up. Short of these guys jumping over guys, which seems to be a new thing also, I see so much of it, and it must drive guys like yourself who learn from Ronnie Lott crazy to just watch this on a weekly basis. Do you see it as much as I do?
It's poor. It's really poor. It's sometimes hurtful to watch the tackling that goes on in NFL right now. It's totally different. And I understand that, you know, the way the game is played is different, you know, with the, you know, the head and all that. But guys, a lot of times, just not trying, right? I mean, put your head in front, wrap up, period. And I just think guys just think they can just throw their shoulders into these big guys, like, you know, over at Tennessee, what's his name, the running back that just be bulldogging everybody. The Heisman Trophy, what's his name now? I can't think of him.
Derrick Henry.
Henry. You know, you can't, I mean, you got to wrap that guy up. And a lot of times that ain't doing it with him. But yeah, the tackling in the NFL right now is very poor. You know, when I see a really good tackle, I'm like, oh, that's a great tackle. But that's far in between, and I wish guys would go back to fundamentals, you know, what they're trying to teach these young kids now and youth football, you know, how to tackle correctly and properly, because right now they're going to hurt themselves. And you see in the Alabama game, guys jumping over guys, and that's just because they just go in there and close the eyes and just hoping to, you know, the guy run over them, you know, and you latch on and make a tackle. But these guys are too good, too strong these days, man. You got to wrap them up, and they got to find a better way to make tackles.
Victor, do you think that's a loss of the fundamentals of the game? Guys trying to make ESPN highlights, going for the knockout shot. Where do you think that all fell apart?
You know, I think with the rule change is one, and I think it's a lack of practicing and training camp. Right, you can't hit anymore. You know, they only practice once a day, and then, you know, a lot of times now, you know, with, you know, when I face you, we in pads every day, twice a day, especially in training camp. I mean, we all, you know, sometimes on Friday, you know, Parcells got us going goal line, right? So we was making sure that we did the things properly, and now the way that they changed everything, I just don't think they get the reps that they need to teach the fundamentals, right? And I think that has a big part to play in it.
Victor, I wanted to get your thoughts as well on what we saw from the Eagles and Doug Peterson in the fourth quarter last Sunday when they pulled Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter of that 3-point game, which had major playoff implications. If they had to come back and won, the Giants are in the playoffs, and said Washington goes, and they pull Hurts in favor of their third string quarterback. Was that okay? Was that an okay thing to do to treat that game like, hey, I want to get my third stringer a look, see what he's got, or did they owe more to what people are saying, integrity of the game or what have you? Did they owe more to that playoff game or that playoff implication game to go with Hurts the whole way? Do you see anything wrong with what they did?
Yeah, you know, I think it's wrong with what he. His statement that he said, you know, that he made at the end of the game when he said, hey, you know, we was going into the game, we want to get everybody reps. Well, that's not the time to get everybody reps, right? You has an opportunity to make the playoff at this point. And even though Jalen was playing bad at the time, hey, you know, as we know as players, you're one play away. I can get beat for three touchdowns and come and get an interception and win the game, right? So you just don't just take your starter out because he's having a bad game, especially a quarterback. Now you put your third-string quarterback in. Now he got thrown two interceptions. Now you ain't got a chance in hell to, you know, to win a football game. Now if, you know, if the Washington lose that game that night, right, then what would you say then? You didn't even give yourself a chance, an opportunity to win in the fourth quarter, only down by 3 points. Yeah, Jalen can win with his feet. He can win with his arms. And he has shown games previous that he is capable of making some plays. He's capable of winning some games. He won some for you. So I think it was a mistake by him taking Jalen out. And I think it's going to haunt him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fired. I know they say his job is not in jeopardy, but, hey, people said it all the time. Next thing you hear, they're out of there. So I think he made a mistake there, and it may cost him in the long run.
Victor, one more before we let you go. And you mentioned you play golf a little bit ago. And, in fact, when people go check you out on Twitter, your background profile. What's that?
Got a 7-1 yesterday.
Nah, look at you. So I was just going to say, what's the status of your game? The status of your game sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah, I shot a 76 on Tuesday. I shot a 71 yesterday. So, you know, and that's been pretty good for me, especially that, you know, it's cold now, right? It was like 55 both days here in Atlanta. So I haven't been able to get my practice in there because it may be 30 or maybe 40. So I don't play or practice on those days. So that was my short game was – I got a pretty – really good short game. My short game is pretty good. So I had 25, 26 putts the last 2 days. And that was my,
wow.
We had a couple chip ins off the green, a couple birdies that way. So, but I've been playing, you know, pretty, other than that, if I shoot 82, that's a bad day for me. I put it like that.
Wow.
That's a bad
day. That's a good day for me.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
If I shoot 82, 83, that's a bad day for me. So, yeah, I'm going to be in the second for the most part.
Victor, before we let you go, I want also want to get an update on your foundation. You've got the Victor Green Foundation doing some great stuff for kids here in the Atlanta area. Give us an update on what you've got going on there.
Yeah, man, I do. I'm having in April. My date last year, obviously got canceled. I'll do a Top Golf tournament in April. It was April 15th, I had to cancel this year, so I'm setting another date for that. And then I do my golf tournament in New York every year. That's where it's been really great. You know, Ronnie, Roger Cadell, I mean, I have some great guys come up there and support my foundation there. And we give money to, foundation that support education, health, and wellness, and character. So if you're interested in supporting, you know, my foundation, you can go to victorgreenfoundation.org. And look at what we do. And, I think it's my eighth year now having my tournaments and been very successful, man. You know, we gave, $20,000 to Morehouse School of Medicine this year so more African American kids can, practice medicine. We need more, African Americans in the medical field. So we was able to do that with $15,000 for that. That we gave. And, so it's just been a great thing, man. All the supporters who may be listening, I appreciate the support. And, we're looking to do great things this year.
Victor, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things. You mentioned the website of the foundation. How can they follow you on social media as well?
Yeah, I'm, Victor Green 21 on Twitter and, it's Victor Green Foundation on IG. And then Facebook is Victor Green. So you Google me, it'll be online. And, if you're listening, and like you say, we do some great things. And, a dollar from every listener out here can be a lot of money, right? Dollar don't sound like much, but it goes a long way, man. And I thank everyone for the support, man. God has really blessed me and put me in a position that I can help others, and nothing more meaningful than that, man, for me. And my family and I, we are very grateful.
Well, Victor, we are very grateful for you and for your time and all the support you've given this show over the years. We can't thank you enough. for being generous with your time again tonight. We hope you'll come back and join us again soon.
Absolutely, man. Just so you know, man, too, I've turned down, this is my first show I've done this year, and I just probably since the last one time I did yours, I don't think I've done another one. Get all kind of requests with podcasts and this and that, and I turned them all down, man. When you called, you know, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys on social media, man, and I think you guys do a great job. So, you know, keep doing, you know, what you're doing, man, and just keep blessing your audience, man, with great people that you guys have on, and very fortunate to be a part of that. So thank you guys, man, and just God bless you and Happy New Year to you both.
Yeah, we're honored. Thank you, Victor.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you very much for that, Victor. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Yeah, have a good day, man. Thanks, sir. Bye.
See you, Victor. That's a great Victor Green, Bob. That last piece, and not just the last piece, but everything he had to say, but that last piece, very meaningful. That's a great compliment. So we certainly don't take that lightly. We appreciate that from Victor very much, and certainly all of his time over the years. Sixth time tonight that he has been a part of the show, and a classier gentleman you will not find.
Yeah, it's almost like we did the spotlight on the positive already, right, Chris? I mean, he's doing so much great things both on and off the gridiron, and obviously on the golf course too, Chris. I'm jealous of his golf game, but that's a whole other story, right?
Same. Same here. All right, we on the other side of this break, Bob and I will be back. We'll do our 5-star picks of the week. Unfortunately, we're missing Tony tonight. Hopefully, we can catch up with him again soon, but we'll get into those 5-star picks of the week here in just a moment.